anyone familiar with Sunni, and I keep jumping on Sunni, but that's a fact of the matter, and its lack of foresight, or lack of funds, whatever you want to call it, would never expect them, never build a building for them that requires upkeep of that kind, a building that could be spectacular if the windows were clean, if there were proper carpet and so on. But with all the kind of skin-flinting cutbacks, and that may sound paradoxical in a building that's so expensive. Nonetheless, if you're going to roll away, you have to do a good job. It looks shoddy. I don't know how it impresses you, but it impresses me that way when I go back. It is not a class building in the sense of having finesse to it and having the kind of warmth that does. It lacks that. But I think it could have had it if they'd done the things Goldberg had asked for. So those are my comments on the building. So the expectations for me personally worked out well. I left when I thought it was the right time for me to leave. I always make an assessment of whether I've done my best job. I'm the Stony Brook. I felt that I did the best I could do, which was to get it off the ground, cut the trees, get it going, conceptualize it, visualize it, get people fired up, develop the relationships around the community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I found it too confining to work within that administrative structure, so I sought greater independence.
Well, to what extent was Johnny supportive?
Oh, I think Dr. Tuttle was supportive of the idea, and so was Sam Gould. Sam Gould would always say, you know, it's inevitable that we'll have a great health science center there, and I agree, that's right, Sam, well, let's get it done. I think they were both supportive. I think that I was probably something of a disappointment to John in the sense that he expected me to check more things with him, but that would have been impossible. First, he was busy. Second, I was busy. Third, it served a purpose. I sound self-important, but after all, I put together two centers from scratch and therefore knew how to do it. And to me, it was wasting a lot of time going through getting everything checked. And I think John, I hope, began to appreciate that was the fact later on in the course of things. But I'm sure he was disappointed that I probably didn't work as closely in day-by-day decisions. But I don't think it could have been done, you know, if I'd done that. Aside from that, no, I thought John was always supportive of the center. We would differ on various things, obviously, being two different kinds of people. But on the whole, he wanted what I wanted. We both wanted Stony Brook to be a true first-class institution, and I mean that considering the whole Stony Brook. And I tried to work for that whenever I could and had a chance to, and also the Health Sciences Center within that larger framework. I think we differed on how these things could be done and methodology and so on, and two different administrative styles. Very different. And so many times people saw us as two people in opposition, two strong people in opposition, one with the other, and it probably was true at times.
Can you define the difference in the administrative styles?
Well, to the extent that I can without being unfair to John, I'm sure he's defined mine, but my style is, I guess, more to make decisions, to make them firmly, to make them fairly quickly, to do a study, to come to the point as soon as I can that we're reaching the law of diminishing returns as far as this further conversation goes. Let's decide on the plan, let's move. But always with the proviso, since I am a clinician, that you alter your plan if reality is different. And I think that's the fundamental difference. And having been a clinician and still a clinician, taking care of patients, I know that I can make a plan for the next 2 hours, but it may go awry, and I must only be prepared to meet the exigencies of the circumstance. And so making decisions, making them fairly quickly, making them with confidence, moving ahead. And I think John spent too much time at decisions, sometimes didn't make decisions, and then I think administered by memo. John rarely got any memorandum from me, but he always wrote me long, single-spaced letters of 5 or 6 pages in length, which I found just, intolerable to read. And I'd rather meet face-to-face and say, what shall we do, and so on. It didn't mean that I didn't involve people, because in my own center, we had treatment meetings, and my style is very personal, to go down and talk to people and get a decision made now. think we have two different ways of approaching it. It's probably the physicist and the physician.
Could be. Right.
Well, my activities combined is coming for campus, no, as you know.
No. Right.
I think one very important thing that took a lot of time was I was determined that we would work with the professional community in the hospitals and not get their hostility in Long Island.
Right.
And so I set up a plan, which I think is still a very, very good one, of clinical campuses in which we would use the facilities of these hospitals and have we had relations with 30 hospitals when I was there. And that required a lot of attention. But I think that paid off because in those moments when things seem to be going worst, I always had the support of the Medical Society in Albany. And in fact, most of the time I had to restrain them from acting too soon. Say, wait a minute, wait, give all of them a chance. And so we had powerful allies because they felt that we were not there to put them out of business. We were there to cooperate with them and to work with them.
Well, you were fulfilling a felt need with so many people from Suffolk going into New York City.
That's correct.
800 people or something.
That's
like
right. Roughly that.
A year?
That's right. But even when you have the public support, you have to get the professional support because the professional fears you're coming in and that you're going to be taking, after all, if there's no university hospital there, someone might be the top man in cardiology, but the minute the university comes in, the focus shifts to the university. So we had to assure these people, we had to work with them. And that, I think, is one of the most difficult, but one of the most successful tasks.
Did you ever have some... You have had, and you do have, joint appointments, or not joint appointments, people who use both facilities. I think that's...
What do you mean, physicians who are... Yes, I was always in favor of that. My own policy was to be as cooperative with the practicing community as possible. And, of course, I wasn't there when the hospital went into operation, but I would have favored, and I don't know what the situation is now, but I would have favored their practitioner bringing his patient into the hospital, even if he was a faculty member full-time. And we we processed a lot of faculty appointments among the practicing physicians at all those institutions. And we did that, by the way, without a single flap, and that's extraordinary. We appointed, I think, some 500 people to the clinical faculty at the other institutions. But what I did there was I had them judged by their peers rather than me.
Yeah.
And that worked out very well.
In Anne's case, I dealt with David Weeks.
Oh, yeah, Dave Weeks. Right. Yeah, Dave was one of the people who voted. By the way, I might comment on the recruitment of interest. I don't want to give you too much, but one of the nice things about having a clean canvas was that I could recruit the people I wanted without going through a lot of committees. So I recruited all the deans personally, and my method was to...
Kirshner,
yes. Marcellus, Oakes in dentistry, McTernan in Allied Health. Kravitz in social work, Fahey in nursing,
yeah.
And Arthur Upton in basic sciences when I was there. Very interesting. He later became director of the National Cancer Institute and so on.
Yeah.
And my technique was to speak to my friends all over the country, ask them for the best people in these fields, do a study of those people before I went near them. I got assurances and so on. These were the best people, and I'd call them up and say, I want you to come to Stony Brook. And so we didn't have all the committees to go through and so on. Subsequently, of course, you had to go through the committee procedure. I think every one of the deans that she took over, of course, they then took over the planning of their own schools, obviously, after I had set it out, and Hal Knutson and I had set it out in its general concept. They then put it into a particular form. So we worked really from the top down to really a principle of subsidiarity. They made their decisions about their schools, and then the departmental chairman came and made their decisions about departments.
Principles of subsidiarity. Subsidiary.
To make the decision as close as possible to where the facts are.
Right. Well, that's good Republican philosophy.
Well, I consider that something more classical with that. It's good Roman organization. What did I feel I accomplished at Stony Brook by 71, I think?
When did you leave?
I left in 73.
73.
Yeah. And I think...
take 73 then.
Well, it's pretty much what we said. I had, by that time, I conceptualized, we conceptualized the whole sound. Actually, speaking of we, because by that time, my colleagues, we had laid out all the plans for the building. It was all ready in structure. We had started schools already. And then we started in the temporary buildings. We started that in 71, so we opened schools, and they were operating all schools simultaneously. The hospital was on its way and approved, and we had appropriation. The last big event was my getting that appropriation, this time directly from the provision department. We had already gotten the initial accreditation to all the schools. We had all the basic faculty was there. Students were being taught. It was all on its way. The tree cutting had been done, the planting had been done, but the tomato picking was to come later.
Where's Clinton now? Where's Newton?
Clinton is in Philadelphia, Fox Chase. And I feel that Al hasn't gotten enough credit for what he did.
Tony Brook?
Yeah, and every time I've had the opportunity, when I went back again, I stated that publicly. He left with some significant degree of disaffection with Albany again and the whole procedure. My greatest problem...
He left before you did.
He left before I did.
Yes.
Yes, he went to Houston, Texas to the Cancer Institute at the University of Texas.
Okay.
Which was his interest, and then he went to Fox Chase.
A pediatrician?
Pediatrician, yes. But he also had a PhD in biochemistry, so he was a combination of basic scientist and a very fine person. And without his help, certainly I couldn't have gotten to the early stages going.
Good.
I think I've named the individuals that have gone along the way.
Right.
I think Stony Brook's a notable achievement. Many, many people involved. And I would say the institutions I know, it has achieved as much as any of its, as any of the others, of its original plans and hopes and expectations.
This is in the health sciences.
In the health sciences field. Yes,
that's right.
As far as the university goes, I simply don't know enough of what's happened when I left. It seemed to be on its way. So, I mean, John Toll had very broad vision, particularly in the physical sciences, which I shared, chemistry, physics, biology. And I think he was also open to a similar development in the humanities. Stony Brook, after all, became something of a victim of the ups and downs of the economics of the state of New York.
Yes.
And so some of the criticisms I've leveled are undoubtedly generated because of economic stresses. But I really believe that given those stresses, better decisions could have been made centrally. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a basic fault in the structure of the SUNY system that needs to be...
Well, the Friday Commission that Horton was able to get appointed pointed that.
Yes.
That out very clearly.
And you were saying that from the inside.
You could have written that report 25 years ago.
That's right. Exactly. But in any case, I think those were the difficulties. And so, you know, from a personal point of view, it was a very satisfying part of my career, but I've been fortunate in a number of very satisfactory, very satisfying assignments. It was unpleasant dealing with the bureaucracy, with the distance of the people and so on. But the idea itself, with Stony Brook, I think, was extremely exciting. It still is.
Did Did you feel that there was at all an upstate bias on the part of central administration?
Well, there certainly was one in the legislature among those legislators, and I remember a couple of times having to go to see Anderson.
Yes.
From Buffalo. And at that time, I remember we were sort of competing with the Amherst.
Warren Anderson?
Warren Anderson, essentially. And I remember on one occasion, this was arranged for me by the local, by our local legislators, Giuffrida, as a matter of fact.
Giuffrida.
Right. And I had 3 minutes to make my case with Warren Anderson.
He didn't really want to know.
He really didn't want to know. But at least I made my case. And I think, yes, there was that feeling that we were getting it all, and the word all around the state, as far as the medical centers were concerned, was, why did Ed Pellegrino get all the money? And I was saying, why did they get all the
money? Right. Well, thank you, Ed.
Well, you're most welcome.
This is about a very, very comprehensive, a complete kind of review. And read it.
Okay.
Very good.
Ed, I want to get down here. The naming of the chair, can you be specific about what it was for you? It was last year.
Yes, that's right. Well, completely out of the blue, I was informed last fall that the SUNY Board of Trustees, and presumably the legislature somewhere along the line, had approved the establishment of an endowed chair in my name, a professor of medicine carrying my name. I thought that was extraordinary, given that I'm still alive and at the moment not planning to pass on. And I was really pleased and really quite truly overwhelmed. And what it is they will do a national search for someone they think outstanding to appoint to that chair in medicine. They did me the honor of appointing me as the first holder of the chair, which was a little bit amusing in a way, and the requirement only was that I go up and give a public address, which I did, and so I had a very pleasant visit to Stony Brook, and let's say I'm very, very impressed and overwhelmed,